The White Quail. 1. The wall opposite the fireplace in the living room was a big dormer window, stretching from the cushioned window seats almost to the ceiling. Small diamond panes set in lead. From the window, preferably if you were sitting on the window seat, you could look across the garden and up the hill. There was a stretch of shady lawn under the garden oaks. Around each oak, there was a circle of carefully tended earth in which grew cinerarias, big ones with loads of flowers so heavy they bent the stems over, and ranging in color from scarlet to ultramarine. At the edge of the lawn, a line of fuchsias grew like little symbolic trees. In front of the fuchsias lay a shallow garden pool, the coping flush with the lawn, for a very good reason. Right at the edge of the garden, the hill started up, wild with cascara bushes and poison oak, with dry grass and live oak, very wild. If you didn't go around to the front of the house, you couldn't tell it was on the very edge of the town. Mary Teller, Mrs. Harry E. Teller, that is, knew the window and the garden were right, and she had a very good reason for knowing. Hadn't she picked out the place where the house and the garden would be years ago? Hadn't she seen the house and the garden 1,000 times while the place was still a dry flat against the shoulder of a hill? For that matter, hadn't she, during 5 years, looked at every attentive man and wondered whether he and that garden would go together? She didn't think so much, would this man like such a garden, but would the garden like such a man? For the garden was herself, and after all, she had to marry someone she liked. When she met Harry Teller, the garden seemed to like him. It may have surprised him a little when, after he had proposed and was waiting sulkily for his answer, as men do, Mary broke into a description of a big dormer window and a garden with a lawn and oak trees and cinerarias and then a wild hill. He said, "Of course," rather perfunctorily. Mary asked, "Do you think it's silly?" He was waiting a little sullenly. "Of course not." And then she remembered that he had proposed to her, and she accepted him and let him kiss her. She said, "There will be a little cement pool flush with the lawn. Do you know why? Well, there are more birds on that hill than you'd ever think. Yellowhammers and wild canaries and red-winged blackbirds and, of course, sparrows and linnets and lots of quail. Of course, they'll be coming down to drink there, won't they?" She was very pretty. He wanted to kiss her over and over, and she let him. "And fuchsias," she said. "Don't forget fuchsias. They're like little tropical Christmas trees. We'll have to have the lawn raked every day to keep the oak leaves clear." He laughed at her. "You're a funny little bug. The lot isn't bought, and the house isn't built, and the garden isn't planted, and already you're worrying about oak leaves on the lawn." "You're so pretty. You make me kind of hungry." That startled her a little. A little expression of annoyance crossed her face. But nevertheless, she let him kiss her again, and then sent him home and went to her room, where she had a little blue writing desk, and on it a copybook to write things in. She took up a pen, of which the handle was a peacock feather, and she wrote, "Mary Teller," over and over again. Once or twice, she wrote, "Mrs. Harry E. Teller." 2. The lot was bought, and the house was built, and they were married. Mary drew a careful plan of the garden, and when the workmen were putting it in, she didn't leave them alone for a moment. She knew to an inch where everything should be, and she drew the shape of the shallow pool for the cement workers, a kind of heart-shaped pool with no point at the bottom, with gradually sloping edges so that birds could drink easily. Harry watched her with admiration. "Who could tell that such a pretty girl could have so much efficiency?" he said. That pleased her too, and she was very happy, so that she said, "You can plant some of the things you like in the garden if you want."
"No, Mary. I like too much to see your own mind coming out in the garden. You do it all your own way."
She loved him for that, but after all, it was her garden. She had invented it and willed it, and she had